Acts 4:32-37. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Philippians 1:12-14. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Sure, I'm not sure what comes next. I was going to give the benediction because I was so blessed by those songs that we sang this morning and the worship. Thank you so much. Touch my heart. Change my life, O Lord. I'm constantly asking God to change my life, O Lord. He still has to work on me. Even though I'm almost 79, I still am not totally perfect yet. My wife will tell you that. She's here this morning, so she's checking up on me. So it's so good to meet many of you. Know me? I think perhaps everyone. I'm not sure, but I have served in this church for back before COVID days for a bit to share the ministry God put on our hearts with evangelism and international students. And a number of those students were impacted through this church and through the people here and through your love and concern. And some of you, like Vivian and Chris and some others, perhaps still have contact with especially some of these students. And we have met some of them. And so we made a major trip 2 years ago to Asia. And we were able to meet a number of the students that were impacted by God through their time in Canada. And so, though I retired from the mission, I am still involved with international students because they still remember me. So they know my address, they know my phone number, they know my wife cooks good food, and some of them are getting married now. I just attended the wedding of an international student from Japan and Indonesia a couple of weeks ago. We got two more weddings coming up this summer. These students were baptized here. They encountered Jesus here, and they're part of sharing the gospel, and they're praying for their own country, like China or Japan, especially when their families come here for their weddings, which will happen this summer. So we're still involved by the grace of God, and we give God all the praise. At the end of the service, I think you still have the coffee time, and I have a little table there of goodies. Not candy, not chocolates. I got books that you can use, you can share, and that's my encouragement to you to pick up some of those books and use them for yourself or others. One of them that I have a number of copies, where I have my accountant, who's Chinese, believes that everyone should have one of these books, and he shares them with all his non-Christian friends. Bible Promises for You, and it has topics on different from the all Scripture, from the different topics of that you might be interested in, like guidance or hope for others. The world is looking for hope today. And they're there afterwards for you to take. I just sent a newsletter out A couple of days ago, actually, my wife does that because I still don't know how to put the computer on. I just know how to put my cell phone on. I can do that, but she runs the computer and she sent out a newsletter. Some of you probably received it. If you don't, just give us your email and we can put you on the list. But I started with these words. Again, the aging can be the temptation to slow down and maybe take it easy. But Psalm 90:12 tells us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. And if there's truth in this verse, while we have time and health, we must do the work of him who sent me, because the night is coming when no one can work. And then I introduced my next major trip, another Asian trip, to India, Singapore, and Thailand this fall for 2 months. If God gives us strength, we believe we should go, because there, when one group of Christians in India, they've been praying for over a year. They've been praying for a year that I would accept their invitation to speak at their major holy convocation, they call it, or a convention for 7 days. And they said, we've been praying since we met you 2 years ago. We've been praying now for over a year that you would accept the invitation for this year. And so we just did. We just got our Indian visas, and we are planning to go in October and November, also to border seminar with Laotian Christians in Laos under the ministry of FEBC. So pray as we take these steps. These are huge steps for us, because my wife has medical conditions. She's a cancer survivor. And this week we were again up for her checkup in the cancer clinic here. And she was cleared of everything. So we thank God for that. And we feel that as long as we have strength and breath, we want to be a blessing. We want to be an encouragement. And that brings us to the message this morning, that we are to, my message is one of encouragement. So if you get out of here without being encouraged, I failed. I failed. Don't ask me back again. Okay? You hear that, Norm? Pastor Norm? So, let's go for it. Being a Barnabas to the world around us. Some of you know, I know that I am also connected in Coquitlam to a church in Surrey called the Zion House of Prayer. And during the time of COVID, all of us were going through difficult times, discouraging times. And at that time, they could only meet, I think, 8 or 9 or 10 people. And they asked me to speak one Sunday, and it was like a little house meeting. And there was about 40 or 50 people online. They put it on YouTube as well. And I spoke on Barnabas and encouragement. And you know, after that, they have always been calling me Barnabas. They said, we have Barnabas here with us today. And so they changed my name from Bert to Barnabas. And that's what happened to Barnabas. His name used to be Joseph, but it changed. And I don't mind being called Barnabas. They said, you have been an encouragement to us. Many of people have said, you know, to see that you're still active, to see that what you're still doing, it makes us, it just challenges us. And that's what I hope can happen this morning. So we're looking at being a Barnabas to around us. Let's pray again for God's blessing. Lord, we need your help this morning. I can't do anything without you. And I depend on you, and I pray that you would be glorified through my lips and through my heart and through my life. And I pray each one of us would have that prayer, that Lord, as we sang these songs this morning, that truly we would glorify you this morning and just cause your name to be honored. And that we sang this song, that we would also let your glory go forth to the nations. And you're not just satisfied with us being encouraged here this morning, but you want us to do something about it. You want us to encourage others. So as we have received encouragement and comfort, we are to comfort and encourage others. And so this message from you, we want this message to be your message to our hearts and our souls this morning. We know it can change our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, thinking about what's happening in the world around us, Ukraine, Gaza, Somalia, Myanmar. Whenever you turn on the news, fires. We're planning to go to Alberta this week for 2 weeks with our car. And one of our cities is Fort McMurray. Yes, it is Fort McMurray. They were able to go back to the city. We have a girl that lived in our home for international student from Beijing. She was baptized by us in Kamloops many years ago. And we have grandchildren, but not only that, we have a granddaughter that's 25. She's expecting her first baby, so that makes it our great grandchildren. First one coming this summer, and she's throwing out the baby shower on June 1st in Calgary. And 50 people are coming. Many of them are non-Christians as well. So we have to attend that. So we're doing a little two-week journey coming this week. So are you encouraged or discouraged this morning? Are you encouraged or discouraged? Well, you know, some of you might be in the dumps because the Canucks lost last night. I'm very sorry. But my family in Alberta probably aren't happy. Right? We don't talk about that when we're together in Alberta. Right? That makes some people discouraged, just thinking of that. But I'm thinking about the world in which we're living. So I want this morning to talk about a man named Joseph who changed the world around him wherever he went. And I pray that this message would encourage you. Well, what does the word encourage mean? If you look in the dictionary, it's defined as to inspire with courage, spirit, or hope, or to persuade or urge to do something or continue or to give help to. Can you think of someone who has encouraged you this past week? We just sent out our newsletter, and a lot of people are encouraging us. They're encouraging us. They're praying for us. Wow, where would I be with people without people's encouragement? But can you think of someone that encouraged you this week in some way? 1 Thessalonians 4:18, and it's also mentioned in 5:14 and 5:11. Paul writes to the Thessalonians several times, therefore encourage one another with these words. 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Again, in Thessalonians, I urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened. We're living in a world that many people are discouraged. I was in the swimming pool the other day. I'm there every week. I'm there almost every day. And I met a man. I asked him what he thought about the world situation. He said, there's no hope. There's absolutely no hope. That was his words to me. I hadn't met another man who's in the swimming pool. I meet people there. That's my mission field, the swimming pool. They can't say they don't have time, especially in the hot tub. And so I met another man. I said, why are you here? He says, I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I'm starting to believe in God. I'm from Fort St. He was from, I don't know, it could be a Fort St. James, or he was from the north somewhere, but he was there for 3 months in recovery. I said, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? He said, sure. I did, right there in the pool. We prayed. At the end of it, he said, this made my day. I'm so thankful that you prayed. I'm so thankful. He's on his journey. So the Bible uses encourage or encouragement 100 times. 100 times. So that's such, yeah, the Greek word here, used here, is parakaleo, which means to exhort, to admonish. It strengthens and calls forth renewed commitment. The word, even the Holy Spirit, the word for the Holy Spirit, one is called paraklete, which means our encourager. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our encourager. In India, some of you know that I lived in India, I worked in India, we were married in India, and I wanted to give up in my early life, in my early 20s, because I was discouraged with the church. At first I thought they were a perfect church. It was like heaven. They had verses everywhere, on the walls, on the doors, even in the washroom, you have need of patience, one verse. because there are lineups. And so, and you know, they have verses for everything, everything. Every window, every door, every wall had verses. I thought, there can't be a better place. This must be heaven, almost heaven. But then I saw later, a few months later, I saw that there was hypocrisy there. I hate hypocrites. The problem is sometimes I'm a hypocrite. And, you know, and I was ready to quit. And I wrote to George Verver, the founder of Operation Mobilization. I was under that mission. And I said, I'm ready to quit. I just, this church is all full of hypocrites. They're all focused on one man. If that one man leaves, he's the founder of the church. If he leaves, he goes to America somewhere. Then suddenly the attendance in the prayer meeting drops by half. But as soon as he comes back, it jumps up again, and everybody's back in church. I said, that's all hypocrisy. It's all focused on him. And George Verver encouraged me to be patient and to hang in there. And years later in Kamloops, when I thought that all was lost for our future, that I could no longer serve the Lord, a little gospel chapel there encouraged me to keep going and get involved with international students, which I have done for over 23 years. And yes, I've been greatly blessed by hundreds of people who have encouraged me in so many ways. And so the first point that I'm going to go through, I'm going to go through Barnabas and look at his life a little bit this morning and highlight some ways that Barnabas became an encouragement. And we need to follow him if you're going to be a Barnabas. Don't get your name called Barnabas unless you're following some of his example. Okay? So the first one is from encouragement is the willingness to give. That we read that this morning from Acts 4. That he sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Wow. That's where he got his name, which means the son of encouragement. This was a description of the early church after Pentecost. The church wasn't focused on size and programs or buildings. It was a church focused on the place where God's spirit and God's power was evidenced. People with so much love for God that these believers were willing to share everything. They practice radical generosity. In fact, Joseph was such an example that he was called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. During COVID time, a lot of students lost their jobs. They were discouraged. Some of them have to work. They're not all rich Chinese people. Some of them were from India and from Vietnam and other places where they had part-time coffee jobs in the coffee shops, restaurants, and they were lonely. They couldn't go home. They were stuck here, and they lost their jobs, their income, even for rent. And that time, some people gave us, and a couple of churches gave us several $1,000s. And what a joy at Christmas time to give people food coupons for grocery stores. And some of them, that is how they survived. And they saw the body of Christ working through gifts. And the last time we went to Asia, so many people helped us to go, and we were able to encourage so many hundreds and thousands of people the last time we went. In fact, even in India, someone was so blessed and encouraged that at the end of a service, she gave me an envelope, and I actually thought because it was wrapped, it was a little bag at the end of a service where my wife and I got married 53 years ago. And I was so busy meeting hundreds of people there. There was 2,000 people at the service or so. And we were also giving out books. And I just discarded the bag, and she said, here's something for you. I looked, I was sure it was Indian sweets or Indian cookies. And I just put it under the table there in the public. It was under the table for hours. I came back in the evening to preach again. And then at the end, I thought, I better take that bag with me. Took it to my wife. I said, here's some cookies. Or sweets, look at it. She opened it up, she said, Are you sitting down? In rupees, which 60 rupees to the dollar, there's over $6,000 here in this envelope. $6,000 from an Indian lady, which was so challenged by the fact that we had come back and we were sharing the gospel. Wow, we were so touched. And through that little experience in India, because other people also gave, we were able to help the Dalits the untouchables. We were able to help the tribal peoples. We were able to help others. We were nowhere we were going to take this back to Canada. We wanted to, and it was close to Christmas, so we were able to help a lot of people that were helping these people during the Christmas season. These gifts encouraged. People that supported us have helped us to reach many people for Jesus. So the second point I want to make is the willingness to give. Encouragement is risky. Do you remember him? I brought him I was serving here, and I brought him here to talk about Indigenous people, reaching First Nations. Pascal Adams and Herta. He came here one Sunday morning and gave his testimony, and we had a little discussion in the room about reaching Indigenous people. You know who he is? When I was started a church in Abbotsford, we had a prison ministry. And so when he got out of prison, he came to our church. But then 2 weeks later, he went back in prison. And he did this several times, but when he came out of prison, he was always in church. And he said he loved Jesus. But he always went back because he was an alcoholic. And his worker who came to our church said, "Burke, he's coming out again." I said, "What?" "Yeah, he's coming. Probably the 8th or 10th time." I said, "What?" I said, "Great, wonderful, praise the Lord." He said, no, I'm not helping him. I am finished with helping him. That is it. I have reached my limit. He always disappoints me. He always goes back into prison. I said, "You can't do that. You can't do that. We need to give him another chance." He said, "No, not me." I said, "I will." My wife and I took him into our home. And that was the last time he went to prison. Till he became a worker to help the people in prison. And for the last 20 years, 25 years, he also got a wife through my help in the church. He was looking for a single woman to marry. They've been married about over 25 years. You know, we gave him one more chance. We gave him one more chance, but it's risky. And so the next verse there is Acts 9, 26 to 28. Saul had just come to Jesus, but he was a great enemy of the church. He was the worst person that the church feared. And so in Acts 9, it says Saul came to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Who took him? Barnabas. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. What would happen if Barnabas had not helped the early church to see that this person was real? This person was not fake. They were afraid of him. Could someone like Saul really be converted? So Barnabas takes a risk and goes out of his way to help this new Christian. We took a risk and took Pascal into our home, and that changed his life. And so when we do, so being encouragement sometimes means to take a risk. And we did that. And we have been doing that. We've worked with prisoners, we work with street people, we've made friends with strangers wherever we are. And I give them my phone number. And I give them my address, and I tell them where I live. One of my sons told me that was a risky thing to do. Well, I said, then I'm willing to pay the risk. Jesus did it all for me. The third point of encouragement is focus on helping others to follow the Lord in total commitment. Total commitment. That's another part of what Barnabas was doing in Acts 11. 25 to 26, Acts 11. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met him in Antioch, and they taught great numbers of people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That's my fourth point. I just missed my third point. I'm skipping stuff here. It was Acts 11. The new So when the church in Jerusalem heard that Antioch was accepting all kinds of people, including Greeks, into their midst, it was a brand new church. Hundreds of people were coming to Jesus. And so the disciples were wondering what's really going on. And they said, "You, Barnabas, go to Antioch and see what's going on." And he arrived and saw the grace of God, what God had done. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And so encouragement, the focus on encouragement is not just to help you just serving yourself, but to encourage them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Our new Christians, they're going to be attacked by Satan. They're going to be attacked by the opposition. They're going to be suffering. There's going to be pain. And so they'll probably wonder, is it worthwhile to follow Jesus? They would be tempted to listen to Satan's lies. Satan is not happy when we start following Christ. And so that is the third way that Barnabas was an encouragement to help others to follow the Lord totally. As we pray about this journey to Laos and to the Christians from Laos, many times we want to be an encouragement to them, but the fact is that most of them are a great encouragement to us. Anytime we think about, that's what we hate about traveling, these long flights and some of the places we might be staying. We struggle sometimes with that. We're not young anymore. Can we do it? But then we think about these people that travel for 2 days over mighty roads with motorcycles from Thailand, from Laos, just to come and be at that seminar. And one of them, man that we met 3 years ago, he had spent 25 years in prison, 25 or 15. 15 years in prison because he had brought people to Jesus, and he was a colonel in the army, and they wanted to stop him. 15 years in jail. We met him. He's in his 80s, and when he gets out of jail, he still is sharing Christ everywhere he goes. He's still filled with the joy of the Lord, even after 15 years in prison. Wow, I say, these people teach me something. They teach me something about commitment and following the Lord totally. And that is just wonderful. And then the fourth one is Mr. Encouragement looks for Saul. Mr. Encouragement looks for Saul. Saul had gone back to Tarsus, where he was from, because it was getting too dangerous to live in Jerusalem. And so he was there with his family and probably not doing that much, wondering what God's future for him was. And Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, Acts 11:25. When he found him, he didn't have Google. He didn't have car. He probably was going by foot or by donkey or horse, trying to find Saul. Why? Because he wanted him to see what God was doing and to help him further the gospel. There's a plan. Barnabas thought it's time to include him in this growing church. So he takes the time and effort to go and find Saul. And that's what he did. Encouragement, brothers and sisters, is always including others, not just yourself. If I'm going somewhere, when I went to Asia last time, I said to a pastor of another church close by, I said, "Why don't you go with me? Because otherwise I have to speak for 11 hours. And he said, "And that's a two and a half day event." He says, "Yeah, I'm willing to go, but I don't have the money to go." And my friend there in that same church says, "The money is there. Just go." He provided the air tickets and everything for the senior pastor of that church to go with me. So I only spoke 5 hours and he spoke 8 hours on that weekend. Wonderful. Now he's filled with the vision of what God is doing there. Take people with you in what you're doing for Jesus, wherever you go. And so Mr. Encouragement looks for Saul. It changes his life. It changes his life. That's what happened in Acts chapter 11. Well, we continue on to Acts 13. And then the another point is encouragement is recognizing God's calling to go. To go. I was influenced in my younger years to read a book called Go Ye Means You. Go Ye Means You. God has no voice except our voice. He has no feet except our feet. Yes. We're his spokesman in this world. And so in Acts 13, this new church, just starting, they recognize that they have to reach the world, not just be there together with themselves. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. That brings me back to 1968, on my first journey as a missionary going to the land of India by truck, overland. People, when they hear that story, they're just amazed that I'm still around. I drove to India. That's how I got to India. And it was not a new truck. It was a truck we bought for $100 from the scrapyard. And I'm driving that from Belgium to India. Wow, that takes prayer. I didn't tell my mother and father the kind of transportation we were going. They knew I was traveling by. In fact, when the church put their hand on me and sent me off, and my parents said, it's the first time I saw my mother and father cry. They cried. They did not know if they were ever going to see me again. But I felt God's hand to go to a country where many people had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this was a turning point in the church. In Acts 13, the church was mobilizing. Mobilize or you'll fossilize. Evangelize or you'll fossilize. That message was bombarded into me by Operation Mobilization. Here they were not content with just being together, but they saw that God wanted to reach the world. And God's always on the move. Are we listening? Others have encouraged me. What happens when we obey God? We never know what can happen when we obey God. A young man called Gordon Magnee, he was engaged to a girl in Tehran, but he went to Turkey in the summer of 1966. And he found himself in the Turkish prison. And the Turkish prison jailer said, "Relax, you'll be under my care for at least 5 years." He couldn't imagine anything worse than spending the next 5 years in a Turkish prison. His fiancée Grace was in Tehran, and he wasn't sure she would wait 5 years. Obviously, our plan to avoid arrest while sharing the gospel in Turkey failed. Our main concern that Christmas was how to get out of jail. But why did God allow that to happen? Listen to this. One of our prisoners, a Kurd, who claimed to have killed a dozen people, accepted the Lord. A young boy from the village who smuggled letters in and out for us also found the Lord and is now working for the Bible Society. And the four of us learned a lot of lessons during those 2 months in prison. Our cell was in the prison basement, but once a day we were allowed out for exercise and fresh air. We would sing Turkish songs, I'd play my trumpet, and one brother would even get some preaching in before the jailer hustled us back to our cell. Our only audience were the children gathering on the surrounding rooftops. 21 years later, I met a Turk from that same village who told me he became a believer. When I asked him how that happened, he said, "When we were children, there were some men in prison. We would listen to them from the rooftops singing songs and talking about Jesus." There are 20 of us now who are believers as a result of those brief open-air meetings. Wow. Was it worthwhile? That's what Paul was saying. It was worthwhile for him to be in the Philippian jail, because now people were encouraged. Everybody heard the gospel there, but people were encouraged and received more boldness. Then two more points this morning. Number six point is encouragement is the willing to let others be first. You read through Acts 13 and 14. When they first went, it was Barnabas and Saul. It becomes, later in those chapters, it becomes Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas recognized the gifts and leadership of Paul, and he was letting others get the recognition. Anybody know the name of the founder of World Vision? Nobody? We know him as Bob Pierce. But he was not the real founder. The founder was a Korean guy. I can't pronounce his name. Kung Ching Han. The original founder of World Vision, helping Korean children. Bob Pierce was deeply moved by this vision, and soon he became their spokesman worldwide. Han was happy to remain behind the scenes, doing what he loved, which was the children. It never bothered him that Bob Pierce got the credit. Everybody, that really knows about world vision knows that Vaughn Pierce, his name. So willing to let others go first. When I was in Kamloops, I prayed that God would get someone to take my place so I can take another step. And that was coming to Vancouver. And that happened. Somebody took my place. In fact, he said, Bert, there's not room for us, two of us in Vancouver, in Kamloops. You got to move. And I trained him, and I helped him to become the leader in Kamloops. Yes, I had to step down. I had to move. I had to figure out how I was going to survive in Vancouver. Then the seventh point is encouragement is not seeing, is seeing the potential and not the problem. Now you have a problem. Acts 15, 36 to 41. The first team comes back, and Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. And Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he deserted them in Paphnalia and had not continued with them in the work. There was such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Two great leaders, Barnabas, who influenced Paul. Now Paul says, in no way we're taking John Mark. Do you remember what happened last time? He failed. He missed his mother. He missed the Jewish food. He got tired of sleeping on floors. Whatever. He got tired of getting stones thrown at him in the open air meetings. He got tired of Paul's leadership, maybe. Whatever happened, happened. And John Mark left. And so that's it for Paul. That's it for Paul. We're not going to try to have this guy again. But Barnabas said, John Mark, he's repented. He's sorry for what happened. He wants to go again. And no way. And one, who's right? Who's wrong? It's not over the Bible. It's not over the gospel. It's over a person. Who's right? Who's wrong? Nobody's answering. I think it's Barnabas. We'll find out at the end. I was a Canadian OM director, and a young man from Saskatchewan applied to go on a missions outreach to Christmas time to Mexico. But he never knew he never really wanted to enter this ministry. He was just a Bible school student. He brought some friends with him. They wanted to take pictures and buy souvenirs. That was their purpose. They never read any of the literature, the preparations. They were just having a good time. The leader was Miles Taves, and I was the Canadian director. I said, I never want to see that guy again. They didn't participate. They didn't want to be there. They were just there for themselves and for fun. So I don't want to see Miles again, ever. And then what happened? In June, I got a letter from that same young man. He asked if he could join the summer crusade. He said the Mexico trip changed his life. I said, what? I don't believe it. Well, we'll take him on for the summer, see if his story is true. And now he spent more than 40 years in ministry. Miles Taves, 40 years in ministry. Still doing it. He says, I'm his example. He can't quit till I quit. So God can change our people's hearts and minds. And I can give you many more stories. How many are not following Christ today? Because they were criticized, because they did not meet our expectations, because we demanded perfection. You failed. You fell. You made a mistake. Sorry, we don't have room for you anymore. Sometimes the church has no room for failures, but God has, and Barnabas had. And so look at Hebrews 11. All were failures at some point. Abraham committed adultery. Moses committed murder. David was both an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was depressed. Jacob was a cheat, and we could go on, but God is able to rescue them and us no matter what we have done. What about Peter, who denied Christ? When you become an encourager, you could be misunderstood. You could be unfairly judged. There is a price, there is a cost, but in the end, God is the final judge. Later, Paul says, bring Mark because he's valuable to me. And we close with that point, the last point. Encouragement is recognizing God's grace, God's forgiveness, and seeing God's restoration. Paul probably now apologized for his short-sightedness. And in 2 Timothy 4:11, he was at the end of his life. He was in prison. Some people had deserted him. He said, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. Bring Mark. John Mark, the guy I didn't want, the guy I had no use for, but bring him. And who's John Mark? The author of Mark's gospel. The author of Mark's gospel. Wow. And Paul, at the end of his life, wanted John Mark with him. You see, Galatians 6:9, let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I close with this last verse. I close with Romans 15:5-6. I think it's there. Let's look at it. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. And the God who gives endurance and encouragement gives you the same attitude of mind. He gives us encouragement by bringing his son, Jesus. Where would we be without Jesus? He went out of his way for us. He went 1,000 miles for me. And then I complain sometimes if things don't go my way. Especially in India, it teaches me a lot about patience. Have to wait 2.5 hours for a train in India. They all call it Indian stretchable time. And I am Dutch, and I hate that. I hate that. It goes totally against me. I left my sister behind one day when I was 16 and had a driver's license because she was 5 minutes late. I don't know what girls do. I had no understanding how long it takes girls to dress and teach and all that kind of stuff. I had one girl, one sister, and that was one too many as far as I, and I left her behind. I left her behind. She was 5 minutes late. Then when we got married in India, that was an hour late. Anyway, we're still married. So the conclusion of this message is, God has given us endurance and encouragement. Give you the same attitude of mind to each other. You're going to encourage somebody this morning? Well, the first thing you do when you get there is say, thank you for coming today. God bless you this week. How can I pray for you? That would be a great way. So my conclusion today is, who has encouraged you recently? Think about it. How can you encourage someone today? List some ways you can encourage someone. By the way, to encourage is not a suggestion. It's a command. Christ is the source and supply of encouragement. It's a command. So this week, today, last Sunday was Mother's Day? Yeah. I was looking for a quiet afternoon with my wife. But there was a lady that I didn't even know. I had met her for a few minutes at the Focus Club in Douglas College. She was from Sri Lanka. I had met her 6 weeks earlier. Well, then she was texting me saying, my husband and I would like to visit you. And we can't come to your church, but can we come to your home? Can we visit? Because we're available in the afternoon. I had not planned anything, and it was a sudden thing. And so, I got her mixed up with another Sri Lanka person. I totally got her mixed up. I asked, are you bringing your son? She said, I have no son. And so, because there was another lady from Sri Lanka. Anyway, I got totally mixed up. And so, but anyway, they came. And they brought a Mother's Day cake. And they had a wonderful time of fellowship in our home. They're Buddhists from Sri Lanka. She had never been in a Canadian home. And, you know, I have a book here. And it's our guest book. It's our guest book. And we have two of them now filled up. There are all these people that have come to our place for hospitality. And she says in this book, your invitation just made our day. We spent fantastic time catching up with you and Auntie and Uncle. We're looking forward to meet you again. God bless you both. Wow. Wow. We're glad we could have them over. Let's pray. The music team could come and close with a song. And just open your heart to God's encouragement, how he's encouraged you. He's brought you here today. Every day I wake up, I'm encouraged that I'm alive. I'm encouraged that my wife is still with me. after 53 years. I think that she, even though she had cancer a year ago, I'm so encouraged even this morning to meet brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship you, to thank you. So, Lord, we pray this morning as we receive this message of encouragement that we would go out into this world and be an encouragement to others. And we would pray and help give and share and pray for people that are on the front lines sharing the gospel of Christ all over the world. We thank you for each one of them. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to go back to Asia this fall. We pray that even a group of people in this church would encourage us and bless us as we know that it's through prayer that we'll be able to see many great things happen for the kingdom of God. We want to be active till you call us home, till you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of heaven. And so we want to be faithful to the end. Help us to be a blessing even this coming week, to be bring comfort. We live in a hopeless world. We live in a world full of discouragement. Help us to encourage others. In Jesus' name, amen.